Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right. 305, Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Today's theme, the dichotomy of being a sports fan. As bad as the Giants have been, at least they gave us one day. New, refreshing. Breath of fresh air, one might say. New quarterback, new dawning of a new era in a positive manner, which was shocking for the New York Giants, and the end of the New York Mets. And I just saw something. You know, when you look at the reasons why the Mets failed this year, there's a lot. To me, it's as bad as the offense was, and I give a lot more blame to the offense than a lot of people want to do. Later in the show, I'll let Fliegelman give you all the statistics that he's been working on about the offense. He's got a bunch of how many games they've scored three runs or less, two runs or less. I think the people just go, oh, the pitching fell apart. And that is true, no doubt. I still blame the offense a lot. But if you're going to talk about why they specifically couldn't at least be one game better than the Cincinnati Reds, as much as I blame the offense a lot more than people do, I have to say, someone just put up a highlight of the Mets season. Was on June 11th when David Peterson threw a complete game shutout. The Mets won 5-0, and they went to a record of 44-24. June 11th, 20 games over 500, David Peterson threw a complete game shutout. David Peterson was one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball. From that point, about that calendar year, from June to June, we're talking about one of the best left-handed pitchers in the game. He was an all-star. He was great. Kodai Senga was pitching to an ERA under 2. And Manaea was on his way, coming back from injury, as he had one of the great years of his career last year and was nails down the stretch of the season. I would venture to say, as much as I blame the offense, and we'll go through the numbers in a second, Peterson literally becoming unpitchable. To where it was his turn in the rotation on the last game of the year. Again, 5-0 shutout. An all-star, one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball. To on the last game of the season, on his turn, when the Mets are desperate for a win to get into the postseason, he can't touch the mound. Not even out of relief. Not even out of the pen is he allowed to stand on the mound. Kodai Senga got injured, and when he returned, he was unpitchable, and Manaea, for a long stretch, was unpitchable. Those three guys, going from the three bell cows of your rotation to being unpitchable, despite my frustration with the offense and the overall blame I'll put on the offense, the idea that those three went from what they were to unpitchable, and in the minor leagues, or literally standing there, not allowed to pitch as he's throwing Stanek, And Manaea, who wasn't allowed to get out of the second inning. I mean, that is, or out of the third inning. That is, to me, you can point right to the reason why the Mets aren't in the postseason. Now, why aren't they a good enough team to really be a lot better than this? I think you could put it on the offense, and Fleegs has got a couple of pointers or a couple of things in that direction. So give me some of the stats you've been cultivating, because you're on this bandwagon with me. The both of us agree that the offense gets too much of a pass because the pitching and specifically the starting rotation has been so bad.
And how about that? Before that, to pump up your last point,
yeah.
June 13th was only 108 days ago. So June 12th, 109 days ago.
Yeah.
Kodai Senga had thrown 5 innings or more in 11 of 12 starts, was 7-3. He exits that game with the injury with a 1.47 ERA. David Pearson completes that complete game shutout. 5 innings or more, 12 out of 13 starts. And this is not including the times they all go 6 or 7.
Yeah.
He wins that game, 5-2, 2.49 ERA. And like you just said, 108 days later, they were deemed unpitchable.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It actually happened before the 100. Like, within 100 yeah. days, they went from two of the best starters in baseball to, yeah, we can't let them near the game.
That's amazing. All right, so give me, that is amazing. And listen, Stearns deserves his fair share of blame. There's no doubt. I don't know how you see that coming. I don't know how you see, and that's not a small track record. It's not like they did that just through the month of April. I mean, Senga's been pretty much one of their best, has been that level of pitcher since he stepped on the mound with the Mets a couple years ago. And David Peterson had almost a full calendar year of being that guy. So, like, it's not like it was like, oh, well, listen, you can't count on that. That's a flash in the pan. It really wasn't. And to have them fall apart like that is mind-numbing. But give me the offensive stats about how many games they scored 3 runs or less and 2 runs or less.
So, 3 runs or less out of 162 games, they scored 3 runs or fewer 68 times, went 16 and 42 in those games. They did it 9 out of 28 times in this August where everybody was raving about the offense.
Even in August when they picked up the offense, were the best team with runners in scoring
position. And overall, their numbers were the best in the league, yeah, in a lot of categories.
Even in that, they scored 3 or less 9 out of 28.
And then in September, this month, playing for their lives, 25 games. They scored 3 runs or fewer 13 times, more than half of their games. And then 2 runs or fewer in a season, again, this is out of 162 games,
yeah,
43 times. That is more than 25% of the time.
25% of the time this year, they scored
6 and 37 in those games, because you're not winning a lot if you only score 2 runs.
So they scored 2 or less 25% of the year, and in the last month, with their lives on the line, the offense scored 3 or less half of the games. I know they had some big numbers at times, and that's what props up the offense through August and September, but I'm sorry, I agree. As much as it is, I mentioned the pitching, it's everything. Let's be honest, it's everything. But the offense just wasn't good enough either. The offense, yeah, Alonso had a really nice season with great numbers. Soto had a typical Soto season with a 940 OPS, the 43 home runs, most of his career, RBIs, the whole bit. Not impactful enough. I can count on one hand big moments from Soto. And that's why I wanted him to get in the postseason, because I had every expectation that those would have come. But even in this last game, he gets, and we'll break, I'll get into the, I want to get to the calls, and I know we got all week to do it, unfortunately, for the Mets. But I do want to get into some of the things specifically about this game, or just the games over the weekend, when big game Clay came through on Saturday. You got it, this guy deserves the moniker. He was great for the Yankees in the postseason at almost every turn, and they desperately needed him on Saturday, and he comes through with the best start of the season from him. That was an incredible performance from Clay. But Soto comes up with an opportunity to do something with runners on, hits into a killer double play. Then he comes up with, I think, 2 runners on right in front of Pete and walks on 4 pitches that weren't even near the zone, so you can't get him on that. It's not like he was looking for the walk, or they weren't even close. And then you get a single from Lindor in front of him.
A double from Lindor.
Oh, the double, right. The double that goes under the glove of the second baseman, and he comes up and he pops up. When you were like, oh, maybe that's a window into getting back into this game, an era, pops up. And again, the offense scores 0 runs. 888-808-1019. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ross, you there? Ross? I'll put Ross back on hold. I know, yeah. I heard the same thing with Keith the other day. Ross wasn't there. Bob in Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, Bob.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear,
yeah,
Bob.
You don't want to stop on the Mets grave, but I do. Mm-hmm. Ever since they signed Soto, all I heard was, now they're the big brother, the Yankees. They own the town now. The Yankees are the little brother. Here's what I want the Met fans, Hector from Manhattan, I want them to call in and say what Pedro Martinez said 21 years ago. The Yankees are my daddy. Call in, Hector. I want to hear it.
Well, I hear you, Bob. And look, Met fans, I hate to tell you this, you're going to have to deal with that. Because whether you are one of those Met fans who went and proclaimed that, you know, they're the team, this is that changed the shape of the city, and they are now big brother. Whether you're positive Tommy or not, who, by the way, put out a video that I don't know what the hell. I don't know. Go check out Tommy's video. I guess I'm promoting him. Go check out Tommy's video that he put out on WFN Twitter. The faces he makes at the beginning of the video, I don't understand. I thought he was going to transform into non-positive to pessimistic Tommy or something, but he never did. Weird faces. But whether you're Tommy, whether you're positive Tommy, who declared them big brother in the city, you know, the minute they signed Soto, hell, before that, when they swept the Subway Series last year, he was ready to call them big brother. Whether you're that guy or not, enough of the fan base was. You're going to have to just deal with the idea that Yankee fans have one up on you. And what you hope for is by Wednesday, the Yankees are out, and you can then have your fun.
As a Mets fan, that was not one of those people, and you know that to be true.
Yes, I do.
I hate those people as much as I hate the 2025 Mets.
They were big brother. Everybody said so. Everybody told me. And that doesn't even bother me that much, I'll be honest with you. What bothers me is the Yankee fan, and it's not the big brother thing. It's not. You want to say they're big brother or that this team is better? That was a reasonable thought. I know it ended up falling on your face, and it's a miserable season, the most embarrassing in franchise history. But at the start of this year, if you thought the Mets were a better team and you want to just call them big brother under the guise of we're the better team, That's fine. You can think that. And there are going to be years where the Mets are the better team. I'm sure, you know, I'm not sure I'll be alive for it, but I'm sure it'll happen eventually. But what bothered me was the idea that this now proves nobody cares about the pinstripes and nobody wants to be a Yankee. And the destination is now clearly Queens and clearly with the Mets because of their ownership and the future of the franchise. And they're built so much better and they're so more set up and stable for a long, sustained winning. Unlike the New York Yankees, who Brian Cashman's lost touch with the world, and you know the owner doesn't go out and make sure they have a third baseman, and you know all that crap. That's what bothered me, because I'm sorry, the Yankee track record speaks for itself. Now you could say it's not good enough; they don't win championships enough, and that's fair. The goal is to win a championship, absolutely. But their track record of building a winner year in and year out is unmatched. In this game of baseball, unmatched. And to just tell me that, oh, the future is so much brighter. Look what just happened. And I'm not trying to get on you. I'm just saying last year was what was called a miracle run. That's why I was so upset as, you know, a commentator. I was like, you know, this is a devastating loss. What do you mean it's a devastating loss? I was getting on the 7 line, and whoever else suggested going to give the team a rounding of applause and be there to get them off the be there when they get off the bus at Citi Field or whatever to just thank them on such a wonderful season, because you got to win. You got to win when you get there, because you don't know. You don't know if you're going to be back. That's why last year was devastating. Oh, it's just the beginning. Is it? Is it? Because it doesn't feel like the beginning now. It feels like a one-off. Feels like a one-off. So that's the only way I'll push back on the idea that the Yankees are some unstable franchise moving forward and the Mets are built for so much more of a level of success. Why? Until the Yankees don't roll out playoff teams year in and year out, then you can try and make that claim. If you want to say going into the season the Mets were built better, that's fine. And maybe next year you'll have that same sort of bravado. But don't tell me that the Mets are more set up for sustained winning than the franchise that does sustained winning better than anyone else in sports. That's all. Andre in Queens. What's up, Andre?
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Well, not good after yesterday's disaster.
I hear you, buddy.
It's been a crushing blow to the Mets fan base and organization.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think this loss was one of the worst in history for the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Andre, I'm with you, and thank you for the call. It's not the devastating, and I say this, you know what, and it's true, because I say it to, as a Yankee fan, I say this too, that 2004, as much as it's the Boston Red Sox, it's probably, and it is different, and maybe I misworded my tweet earlier when I said it's the worst moment in franchise history. This is probably not the word, moment might have been the wrong word. Because even I say as a Yankee fan, 2001 Game 7 hurts a hell of a lot more than 2004 for me. And many Yankee fans disagree, because that was a slow decline. Like, I know it was only 4 games. It's not as slow as 3 months as this Met decline was. But you could feel that. They win Game 4. Yankees have, you know, Yankees, Rivera blows the save. You know, Dave Roberts the steal. Bill Miller the base hit. We all know it. They win that game. Then Poppy in Game 5 as well. And then they head back, you know, to Yankee Stadium. And you knew the Yankees had no pitching. You knew it. You knew the Yankees, you know, they were throwing John Lieber and nobody in Game 7. So you knew the Yankees were in trouble. And it was this slow decline, and then you just felt like that was going to... Once the Game 6 and 7 were almost a fait accompli, you knew the Yankees couldn't win those games. So as much as it's the ultimate collapse, and as much as it's the Boston Red Sox, and they go on to break the curse and all that, to me... The moment of watching that ball fly over Jeter's head in 2001 sticks with me more, because it's that moment where I thought they were going to win their fourth in a row, and they couldn't accomplish it, and they got beaten in heartbreaking fashion. So I get the idea that a lot of Met fans felt, and obviously rightfully so, that this team has been dead for a while, and that even if they were somehow lucky enough to hold off the Cincinnati Reds, that they didn't have the pitching to go win a championship. So I understand that maybe it's not as gut-wrenching because you felt like either they weren't good enough and we knew it, or even if they got in, how do you expect this team to win? So like, I get it that it doesn't have that pit of your stomach on today because it's been this slow build of coming to grips with the idea the team's not good enough to accomplish what you hoped anyway. So what are we talking about? But to me, again, maybe it's not the most gut-wrenching, maybe it's not the most painful, but embarrassing? I think this is the most embarrassing. It's hard to do worse. It's hard to have the offseason. It's hard to stomp and crow and dance and proclaim yourselves the king of New York. And I know that's the fan base and not the franchise. I get it. But still, like, that was the feeling. They went out and spent the money. They got Juan Soto. This team went to the NLCS last year. And they just added Juan Soto. This is going to be there's no doubt. There's no doubt. The promise of this season, along with the buoyed enthusiasm of the fan base to epic levels. Laughing. I'm taking calls from Met fans laughing at the Yankees for signing Max Fried. Laughing. 8 years. Brian Cashman, congratulations. You got Max Fried for 8 years. Laughing at how the Yankees do business compared to how the Mets do business. Can't tell you how many people. Can't tell you how many Met fans. Hit me up and tell me your franchise is old. Your franchise doesn't know what winning is anymore. You're not built for the future of Major League Baseball. The Mets are the new way. The Mets are going to be this for the next however. Like, that's what this was all building up to. It was this year. The owner, show up. We went to the NLDS last year, and you didn't show up down the stretch of the season in a pennant race. I expect you to be here, all of it, to fall on your face. This is the most embarrassing season in Mets history. Maybe it's not the most painful because you sensed it coming. Maybe it's not yesterday being the gut-wrenching moment because you knew they weren't good enough. But overall, to have this team not be able to be one of the final six and to lose out to the 83-win Cincinnati Reds when we just said on June 11th you were 20 games over 500? I mean, 20 games over 500. If you just played 500 baseball the rest of the way, you got 91 wins and you're the top, you're the second wild card. We're right there. Like, all you had to do was play 500 down the stretch. Embarrassing. Brian in Phoenix. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. So I usually agree with a lot of things you have to say, but you know what you said before about being open to the idea of losing Alonso, like to me that's just a non-negotiable. Like,
okay,
he had 30 big home runs this year. Yes. He had 275, drove in 120.
Had a great year.
There's a ton of problems with the Mets, but to me, you know, Alonso can't be the guy that has to, you know, take the hit for that. Like, it's really easy to say, like, oh, let's get rid of Mendoza, you know, but let's look at the core group of guys. You know, you have, forget about Soto for a second. You have Lindor, Alonso, Nimmo, McNeil, Peterson, Diaz, Alvarez, I guess. These are the same group of guys that folded under Buck Showalter, and we fired Buck Showalter because they folded, and then we hired Mendoza, and then they fold under him. So it's like, Are we going to just keep sitting here and firing managers because this team keeps folding? Or are we going to sit here and, you know, I mean, like, I love Nimmo. He was drafted by the Mets. He's spent his whole career with the Mets. But honestly, at this point, like, I'm ready for Nimmo to go. Like,
I agree.
You know, this guy's playing left field. There's a runner at second base. There's a base hit to left field. These guys are, like, licking their chops to round third because they know he's not, you know, that they know he's not throwing them out. And, you know, if you look at me with a straight face and you ask me if Alvarez is a good player, like, I don't know how to answer that question. You know, he goes to the minors, he comes back, he gets hit by a pitch, then He hits a home run 2 days in a row. Then he sucks for a week. You know, it's like, I don't even know if he's good. You know, it's like, I mean, McNeil, you know, no question about it. He's got to go. But, you know, like, it's time that we start blaming this core group of players that has proven to us more often than not that they fold when push comes to shove, rather than making the playoffs and making a push. To me, it's on the players. Like Mendoza hasn't had a great year. You know, I'm not defending him really, but
right. No, but I mean, here's my question to you, Brian. Like, you're acknowledging that the core needs to change. I get it, and you mentioned it's easy to blame Mendoza. All I'm saying is if the core needs to change, the easiest way is to just not sign Pete, because I don't know what I can get for Lindor. I don't know. Like, those are trades that have to be made and executed. Like, I do want to just give away Nimmo and just whatever. I mean, did I say Lindor? I didn't mean Lindor. I meant Nimmo. Are you just going to move on from Nimmo no matter what you get back as a package? Like, there's if the core needs to change, then all I'm saying is you have to be open to changing the core. And the easiest way to do that is to just not sign Pete and do different things.
You know, yeah, but then who plays space next year? What, are we going to throw Vientos over there? Like, the guy who's dropping.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know what you do. I don't know. Maybe you go sign, you know, you go sign Kyle Tucker and make Juan Soto your first baseman. Maybe you go get Kyle Tucker and Kyle Schwarber. Like, I don't know what you do. You do different things.
Like, the core needs to change, but I'm not including Pete in that conversation.
I hear you. I'm not saying he shouldn't be back. I want to make this clear. I'm not saying you can't bring Pete Alonso back. I'm not even saying you shouldn't bring Pete Alonso back. But I don't think we should fall into the trap of he's our guy, we have to bring him back anymore. I was there. Last year, I was there. This year, I feel so much needs to change inside the team that I'm open to almost anything. Hell, if you told me you had a good package to move Lindor, I'd be open to it. I'm not saying I would do it. I'd be open to almost anything to change this team. And if you moved on from Pete and traded some pieces around, or you go sign Murakami out of Japan to play first base, or you sign Kyle Tucker and Schwarber and move Soto to first base, or just come up with ways to be creative. I don't know. I'm just saying you have to trade the other guys. You have to move Nimmo. And I don't know, but Stearns doesn't feel like a guy to me who's just going to move Nimmo and not care what he gets back. So you have to be willing. You have to, with his contract, you have to find a team willing to give you what you want back. It's not as easy as just saying, okay, I'm just not giving Pete a contract. That's real easy. And then doing different things. I don't know. Move Vientos to first, go get Bregman, who's going to be a free agent. There's other options. There's a lot of options out there. You're going to have really good players available in free agency. Tucker, Schwarber, Bregman. What if you bring in all three and move on from Pete? Can you not tell me that there's a scenario where that team is better? Where are you going to get this from? Where are you going to get that from? I'm going to get it from Kyle Tucker and Schwarber. I mean, I'm just saying.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm just saying.
Real sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
So I know Mendoza is going to be a topic of discussion with this team. Andy Martino pretty much came out relatively quickly after the game and said the Mets have really no design on moving on from Mendoza. And I don't know if that's right or wrong. I probably wouldn't fire him. This is such an embarrassing collapse, and this team, despite the pitching, should have been better than this. So, I mean, this is pretty ugly to not make the playoffs. It's pretty ugly to get beat out by the Reds. And I mean, so it's up in the air for me. If they did it, I wouldn't complain. I probably wouldn't do it. It sounds like they won't. It sounds like they're probably going to get rid of Hefner. It sounds like they're probably going to get rid of Chavez. It sounds like there's going to be changes on the coaching staff. We'll see. And, you know, we haven't really talked about the game because I got to tell you, he managed this game. There's been some real obvious mistakes from this manager down the stretch here, right? Dating back to the game against the Milwaukee Brewers, that series against Milwaukee, and not pinch running for Marte, different things throughout, questionable lineups, all that stuff, which all managers have. But I thought yesterday, if you want to break down this game, which you really haven't other than maybe the Juan Soto stuff and the bases loaded, when you know, like, and we've been talking about Pete, and look, Pete did everything he could yesterday. Pete did everything he could. He hit a ball. Now, I heard someone say it. I don't know if it was just hyperbole or if it actually is the truth. They said it as if it was the truth. I don't know. But it was 116 miles an hour off the bat, which was the hardest hit ball by any Met this entire season. I don't know if that's accurate, but it was hit pretty damn hard. Bases loaded, and he rips one that off the bat I 100% thought was going to the wall. Like, as soon as he hit it, my mind went to, can all three score? As soon as he hit it, I was like, ooh, might be too hard to score all three. Like, that was, the second he hit it, I'm thinking, oh, that might be too hard to score all three. I wouldn't be surprised if that thing bounces back off the wall. Like, that's how hard he hit it. Immediately, I'm thinking, can all three score? And instead, it practically takes the glove off the left fielder. That was the moment where I was really like, man, the Mets ain't winning this game. I mean, that ball was absolutely launched and yet not coming through. But the way Mendoza, and if you want to break down how Mendoza managed the game, and I'm sure many of you have a major problem with it, when you look at every individual move, I understand why he did it. He managed this game like it's game 7 of the World Series. And I thought, you know, if it works, it's brilliant, and if it doesn't, it comes off as panicky. And I have to admit, like, when he takes out Manaea in the second, it felt panicky. Now, I understood it on some level. Like, I understood it, right? You're kind of going to manage this game like that. He hasn't been great. I don't think anyone could argue that. He walks Hernandez, which on the broadcast, they're talking about how there's a base open and you got a rookie on deck with like a handful of at-bats in his career. So he's careful pitching around him. It's not like he's lost command. But, you know, you do want the right-handed pitcher against the right-handed batter, and Brazaban's been good. But it just felt panicky. And, yeah, you want to make sure you don't score runs there, and you want to keep the game as 0-0 as long as you possibly can. But you also got to get 27 outs in this game. And Manaea's kind of got guts, and I thought his fastball was kind of working up in the zone pretty well. I would have kept him in. I understood why he took him out. And it's more than taking him out that bothers me about the actual matchup. And it felt like he comes walking out, and it just sends a message to the team. It's like, man, geez, we're panicking here. That's the only negative I have. I think you can get more outs from him. I understand the nature of this game and how important it was and how quickly you're going to manage it. I thought Mendoza taking him out there was a little early. I understood it, but I thought it was a little early. The one I have a problem with, right? And even Brazaban, like, he's quick to take him out too, right? He brings in Brooks Raley to get out Marseille. Again, lefty-lefty. I get it. The only problem is, again, 27 outs, and Brazaban has proven to get you deep into games. But again, you got to keep it 0-0. I don't hate going to Brooks Raley there. I want to get that out. I got my, you know, he's been one of my two best pitchers. I have to give my offense a chance to get the lead. I got to keep this thing 0-0. I get the thought process. I get it. The only problem, and that one doesn't bother me either. So 2-for-2, right? I understand them. I could see why you don't want to do it. It feels a little panicky, but I kind of understand it. The problem that, the one that really bothers me is taking out Brooks Raley for Stanek, because in my mind, I got two pitchers, two, that I fully trust and completely believe in. And that's obviously Diaz and Brooks Raley. Those are the only two guys I trust implicitly. Those are the two guys I feel good when they're on the mound. Rogers, you know, if you give him a clean inning, I trust him a little bit. Stanek, no. I mean, I don't know who else I trust in this bullpen. Those are the two guys. I have to maximize how much I use those guys. Plain and simple. Those two guys, they're going to come into this game. I have no problem bringing them in early to keep the zeros up. We'll get to Diaz coming up bringing in the fifth. I have no problem going to those two guys to keep the game 0-0. No problem. The problem I have is, why am I in a rush to get to Stanek? I don't care about the matchup because Brooks Raley is the one guy outside of Diaz I trust. I can't only get two outs from Brooks Raley. That's my only problem. The matchup I get. But I understand you're going matchup to matchup here, but you've got two guys you trust. I can't bring Raley into the game and only get two outs with him. That's not enough outs. I need 27 to win the game. I can't only have my second best pitcher get me two outs. I needed him to go deeper into that game. I needed to trust him to get through that moment. I needed to. That's the one I really have a problem with. And then once you fall behind, I know the broadcast who was all over it last night, and all over Mendoza. And I get in the, like, they're questioning bringing in Diaz in the fifth. What are you going to do in the seventh and eighth? I don't care. Like, I'm down runs now. I'm down four runs. I can't let it get to five. I have no problem bringing in Diaz. And then obviously the rest of the game, the bullpen's able to do the job. The only one that really jumps out at me as the one I don't understand at all is taking out Raley to go to Stanek. And obviously Stanek gives up the runs. And that's not the reason why. It's not because, oh, he gave up the runs, therefore I hate it. My only issue is he's my second best. He has, without question, been my second best. I trust two guys in the bullpen. I can't use him. Like, this isn't the eighth inning where I'm going matchup to matchup, and I know I got Diaz for the ninth, or I could bring in Diaz for a five-out save. This is the fourth inning. I'm playing a bullpen game. I got to get 27 outs. All right, I want to keep it 0-0. I'm going to my best early. I'm okay with that plan. But if you're going to do that, he can't only get you two outs. You got to be willing to trust him to get deeper into the game. You have to. to rush to go to Stanek, that's the one move. You can question them, and you can make a good argument for why it was a mistake to pull Manaea when he did. You can make an argument it's a mistake to pull up Brazoban when he did. You can make arguments for them. I think I can make arguments that I understand why. The Brooks Raley one, that one I don't get. I need more than two outs from my top two guys. And then he brings in Diaz in the fifth. Completely understand. You can't let it get any further. You have to give your offense a chance in those innings to get back into the game. I have no problem going to Diaz that early in the game, and clearly he's only capable of going two innings. And then from that point, you're able to actually get a good performance from the rest of the bullpen, and you shut it down. I thought, obviously, you could see Peterson in this game, especially when they go to their top guys early. I'm thinking they want to stabilize it early, get to a point where you get a clean inning in the fourth or the fifth, and then go to Peterson, but clearly Peterson wasn't getting anywhere near a mound in this game. So, like, there are different scenarios in this, and I know we're going to blame the manager. And last night, obviously, the way it was managed felt kind of helter-skelter. But there's only really one decision that I just can't understand, and that's not allowing Brooks Raley to go deeper into the game. 888-808-1019. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. You're spot on with that. I was thinking the exact same thing. Me and you were going to come in that game before Peterson was yesterday.
Yeah, no, Peterson was going nowhere near the mound. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, with their righties, righty backs. Yeah, I was wondering with Stanek. You got to stay with Raley a little bit longer. Or even bring in. But you know what? Stanek has been good the last handful. Look, I don't know.
I don't mind going to Stanek. You're going to have to pitch Stanek in this game. Like, that's not the issue.
Yeah.
And because he gave up the runs, that's not why I'm complaining. I just think I had two guys that I need big time performances from, two guys I really trust. I can't pull out because of a matchup and go into this game and knowing I need 27 outs to win and only getting two from Raley. Like, it's just
Raley has to pitch the most.
He's got to get me more outs than two.
Big picture, it is, you said it perfectly, it's embarrassing more than it's gut-wrenching. Enough for nothing. What's more embarrassing that compounds it, I don't want to get into the whole thing, is as a Met fan, I still like to think the majority of us are smart enough. And you got a handful of knuckleheads who started this whole Big Brother thing. Mm-hmm. And now guys like me, I got to defend it. You know, it all started with a couple of people on your station, and then it took on an air. I'm not saying people didn't say that. Hopefully it's a small minority. They're vocal. But it's ridiculous. I mean, I never said it. I said we were on an even playing field. I still think we are. Mm-hmm. But that's besides the point. You know, the thing that I kind of fight back against, and I keep saying it, Gary Cohen said it signing off, about how talented this team is. That's so overstated. Where's all the you got three guys at the top of the lineup. You got a young starting pitcher. You got the best relief pitcher in baseball. The rest of this roster is so flawed. Where's the all-around ball players on this roster? There's not nearly enough the talent that people make it out to be. They're not a good ball club. They haven't been a good ball club. That's why I'm not shocked. What really set the tone for me, when they went into Philly and couldn't win a game, that was it for me. I called you last week. I said they weren't going to make the playoffs. I am not shocked, Chris. I'm embarrassed.
No, I get you.
But, you know, and it's, you know,
I do think they're more talented than the Cincinnati Reds, though. Like, I do think they're talented enough to be a playoff team.
But when you have flawed players like Mullins and Marte and McNeil who are shells of themselves, you know what talent is? Talent is playing defense. Talent is getting a guy in from third base in less than two. They haven't done this all year. That's not talent. And you're spot on. You've got to be open. Anybody who's not open for movement off from Pete, you're not going to. It's not a matter of who's going to play first base and put up those numbers. It's who's going to play first base and DH. Who's going to play first base and left field? Who's going to play first base and third base? A Bregman, a Bellinger. There are options. You got to be nuts to.
Yeah. You're right. I don't even think Bellinger because I'm hoping the Yankees keep him, but he will be a free agent as well. There are ways to make up for Pete's numbers. The idea that you can't make them up is silly. You could say a lot. You could say Pete's great. Pete's my guy. Pete's put up those numbers. I know Pete can play in New York. I know he can play here. Like, there are good arguments for why Pete has to be back. But you can't just tell me, well, where are you going to get those home runs from and those RBIs from? To quote Billy Bean or at least Brad Pitt, you rebuild in the aggregate. Like, you know, you find a way.
I was just pulling up the clip on YouTube, but there's an ad.
Oh, did you? Yeah, see?
We both had the same thought.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you just replace him in the aggregate. You figure out a way to get those numbers. It's not like Pete's numbers are completely irreplaceable. Maybe from one dude they are, depending on how you build it. But, like, there's going to be plenty of free agents. There are different ways to go about building a team. There always is. And I'm not saying Pete can come back or that Pete shouldn't. I'm not even saying Pete shouldn't come back. I'm just saying I believe there needs to be a shakeup with the team. I do believe that fundamentally. And it's easy to say, well, you got to get rid of McNeil. I agree, and that is an easy one. But then Nimmo or this or that, like, is McNeil and Nimmo enough of a shakeup? And Nimmo, you got to trade. And I don't think Stearns is just going to give him away for nothing. You got to go find a partner who's willing to give you something of value to get back. And I don't know if that's possible. Maybe it is. I'm sure it is on some level, but it's real easy to just not bring back Pete and change where you spend that money and change what kind of team you have.
Now, what we might be able to do is recreate him. Recreate him in the aggregate.
That's it. Recreate him in the aggregate. I don't know what aggregate means, but I knew the word from the movie. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Chris, if you rebuild in the aggregate, you'll do like the Oakland A's. You'll no longer have a team in your city. You'll never win a championship, and maybe Brad Pitt will make a movie about you. Two Mets have shown up from day one to day 162. Pete Alonso, who's a free agent, and Edwin Diaz, who's soon to be a free agent. Yeah. And
well,
they both
have opt-outs, so they're both soon to be free agents.
And
Lindor did have a good year, and Juan Soto had an OPS of 940. I mean, I understand your point, but...
That's fair enough. But you know, my point is, you know, turn out the lights. The party's over for the Mets, because just the best part of this weekend, Chris, seeing Miggy doubles, Miguel Andujar smacking the ball around for the Cincinnati Reds on Saturday like he's Joe Morgan. And then on Sunday, the Brew Crew comes through and beats the Reds, and no one can do nothing for the Mets. And this is all I want to say for the genius, not David Stearns, the real genius, Brian Cashman and Mr. Steinbrenner.
Yes.
You want to make the Yankee fan happy, pour a little sugar on us. 3 years, $120 million for the best closer in baseball, who should always be in the Bronx. The best closer should always be in the Bronx. Edwin Diaz, you want to close out World Series games, baby? Come on over, pour a little sugar on the Bronx, Chris.
I doubt very much they let him go. That's the one I am almost, I mean, there is no way this owner is letting him go. He has proven to be, over the last 3 years, despite the injury, he has proven to be the best and most consistent reliever in the sport. He is. I doubt very much that this owner is going to let him walk. I don't see how you could. So I'm sure he'll be back. That's the one I'm most confident about. I think the owner's going to insist Pete comes back. I do. And again, I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that would be the wrong move. I'm just saying I have to be open to different things. But I don't think, except Diaz. I would not be open to Diaz. Diaz better come back. The guy's been brilliant. And I don't think this owner would allow anything else. So I'm not. And then the other thing is that I can't see, I Beningo said it. I'm watching Dan Plesac on MLB Network say it. Pete Alonso's not going to be a Yankee. I promise you. The idea that maybe, you know, I'm sure there's the odd Met fan out there who thinks I'm saying you got to move on from Pete because I want to sign him as a Yankee. Ben Rice just hit two home runs today to help them win this game. Like, they're not going to give big money to Pete Alonso when they hit more home runs than any team in baseball already. I'm telling you. I don't think it's a fit. I mean, listen, he hits 36 and drives in 120. He's a fit for everybody. So I'm not saying he's not a fit, I guess. But, like, I don't think it's what they need necessarily. And they got a young kid who just had a great season with an 800 OPS and hit 26 home runs in part-time. He doesn't even play every day. They're going to try and work on him defensively all offseason. I would be shocked, right? At the beginning of the year, you heard the Yankees were going to be hot and heavy over the Japanese star to go play first base and that the free agency was going to be built on him. I don't think they're getting him either. I think Ben Rice is the first baseman. I think he's going to be the first baseman backup catcher.
They might move more comedy third.
Yeah, I mean, if he could play third, maybe. But right now, you're locked into another $16 million a year deal with McMahon, who, I don't know, you just get the weird feeling McMahon's going to be a guy who finds the way to get hits in the postseason. I'm hoping, at least. But he's been terrible offensively, but he's so damn brilliant defensively that you don't mind. And we'll get to the Yankees and Red Sox because, hey, look, Met fans, here's the positive thing, right? Is we have this very fun, back and forth of you were Big Brother, ha ha ha, you idiots, how could you ever think that? The Yankees are the best, whatever else is going to be said. You got to hope that they play two more games than the Mets. And that is a possible, without, I mean, as much as I am a Yankee shill, that's as possible a scenario as, you know, playing another 11 or 12. Like, I hear you. I'm, you know, this is a, they're going to face Garrett Crochet Tuesday night in the Bronx, one of the best left-handed pitchers in all of baseball. One of the best pitchers, period, in all of baseball. That's not going to be an easy matchup. Max Fried's been great. They're at Yankee Stadium. I trust this team. They're playing. They've won eight in a row. They could easily be shut down in game one. Easily. He's the top-level pitcher. That's the fear of getting in this wild card. That's why I was so desperate to win the division. And you got to give the Yankees credit. They won eight in a row to do everything they could down the stretch. It's their own fault for not beating Toronto. And give it to the frauds. Congratulations to the frauds, who still have to win a playoff game, at least, before I even consider taking the fraud moniker off of them. But if you would have told me the Yankees would have won all three when they tied it on Thursday or Wednesday, whichever day they tied it heading into the weekend, and knowing that they were tied and they had to outplay Toronto in the 3 days, the final 3 days of the season, if you would have told me they would have swept Baltimore and won all three games, I would have told you the Blue Jays would have found a way to lose one and the Yankees would be winning the division. And they didn't. They swept Tampa Bay. So give the fraud Blue Jays credit. They found a way to win all three against Tampa. It got close for a little bit. They were up 5-1. It got down to 5-4, and then they blew the game open again. And listen, I have no problem with divisional ties. That was the rules. They all knew it going in. The Yankees got to be better against their own division. The Yankees have the best record in Major League Baseball. They're a game over 500 in their division. Not good enough. You want to win your division, you got to play inside your division better than that. It's the Yankees' own fault. But having said that, they have the best record in the American League. They've won eight in a row, and they are heading into this postseason as good as they have ever headed into a postseason before. As healthy, playing as well. The rotation, even without Cole right now, feels as good as we've had it in a long time, the Yankees. Like, I feel about as good as the Yankees heading into the postseason as I possibly can, other than they're playing a three-game series with one of the best pitchers in the world on the mound. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy. This is going to be a very difficult wild card series to win. But if they do, then they go take on the fraud Blue Jays. We'll see what happens then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.